And we're joined on the phone now by Bill Barnes. He's a cartoonist. He makes two comic strips currently, Unshelved, which is set in a library, and Not Invented Here, set in a software company. He's visiting Grand Marais next week to give a presentation at the Grand Marais Public Library next Thursday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. Welcome, Bill.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for being here. So we're talking with you from Laura Ingalls Wilder Historic Site?
That's right. I'm standing in her homestead in the 160 acres that Pa homesteaded, to where her two younger sisters were born.
That's wonderful. And this is because you are on, I understand, a 13-month road trip around the country. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, in fact, today celebrates our first month on the road. 112 to go, exactly. Years ago, my wife and I did this before we had kids. We quit our jobs and spent 9 months traveling around the country in an RV, and we basically spent the entire time saying, we should do this again when we have kids. And so we had kids, and we have two of them, and they're kind of the perfect age. They're 11 and 13, and we thought, this is the time. And I have a very, very flexible job that allows me to work from pretty much anywhere. And our kids are already homeschooled, and so it sort of seemed like a no-brainer. So here we are.
How fun. And those are great ages. Interested in stuff, still like adults.
Yeah, no, they don't hate us yet. It's great.
Right. Well, good. So you're is this in Iowa?
This is in DeSmet, South Dakota.
Oh, South Dakota. Okay. I forgot that about those books. I haven't read them in a while.
They went all over the place. It took a while for them to figure out where they wanted to be.
Okay. Well, now, you mentioned you have a very flexible career, but I understand that prior to becoming a cartoonist or having a career as a cartoonist, you were a computer programmer. Why did you get into cartooning?
You know, it's probably fair to say that I started off in cartooning. I did that first. I did cartooning, and then I discovered computers, and then I had to kind of split my attention between my two loves. And when I went to college, I really had the big choice. Am I going to go study computers, or am I going to study art? And I decided to study computers, and I think that was financially the right choice. But there was always this big part of me that just wanted to tell jokes in comic form. And after a long time and a lot of whining, my wife said, I'm sick of all the whining. Will you actually just go do this thing you always said you wanted to do? And I think she may regret it because our income is something like half what it used to be, but I'm a lot happier.
Well, that's hard to put a value on that. So you've been drawing cartoons since you were, what, a little kid or how old?
Yeah, I think I started around 7 or 8. My dad was a banker and we moved all around the world we lived in. China, we lived in London, but when I was about 8, we lived in Nigeria, which was even a more dangerous place than it is now, and it was not particularly safe to go outside a lot of the time. And my sister and I were so bored, and we had such limited access to media that we started making our own comics.
So your sister is a cartoonist as well?
No, she took one look at what I was doing and decided I was better at it than she was. She went on and did other things.
Bill, what I happen to be a huge fan of cartoons and would actually have been trying to learn to cartoon, with limited success because I don't really draw very well. I have these kind of fun ideas in my head, but it's hard to get them on paper. But anyway, what can you get across in a cartoon that's hard to get across in other media?
You know, I often think of it as the most succinct possible way to communicate a simple concept. Like a joke. A joke is a pretty simple concept. And when you're telling a joke, you have to do all the setup. You know, a guy walks into a bar. But in a comic, you get to draw the guy walking into a bar, right? And so you get the picture is worth a thousand words thing. But you also get words, too, because we're humans and we use words and we need those to communicate things. And it's this beautiful combination of those two things. And you can move one step forward, right, and animate the whole thing and just turn the dial completely to one side. But then it doesn't really involve the reader's imagination. I mean, if you think about watching a movie, there's very little left to your imagination. You're seeing everything they want you to see. Comics are really interesting because you show a panel, and then you have this little space, and then you show another panel, and something really interesting happens between those panels, and it mostly happens in your brain. Scott Adams is a guy who studies comics and wrote a great book called Understanding Comics. Sorry, Scott McCloud. Scott Adams makes Gilbert.
Mm-hmm.
Scott McCloud gives the example of Superman saying, I'm going to go save Lois. And in the next panel, he can be across town, you know, and there's a burning building. And you know exactly what happened between those two panels, but you don't have to show it. And there's something very magical about that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well said. So you've been cartooning since you were a child. How has cartooning changed since you started?
I think the act of of writing stories and drawing has not fundamentally changed. What has mostly changed is the medium for receiving it, the channel, I guess, for receiving it. It used to be all that stuff happened on paper, and paper is beautiful and has certain wonderful aspects, but people aren't buying them in newspaper form. So at least for comic strips, one of the problems is that if you are a newspaper cartoonist, you are making the same amount of money per newspaper per week that you made in 1974. And what that means is, because of inflation, is you would actually have to be in more newspapers every year just to keep up with inflation. But of course, just the opposite is happening. And most cartoonists are in less newspapers every year because there are fewer newspapers every year. Mm-hmm. And so that business model is almost completely collapsed. There's still a few dozen people who are able to do it and able to make a living, but that is there's a real timer ticking on that. Mm-hmm. And so for most people, including me and my partner, we went to the web. We kind of skipped over the whole newspaper thing, a little accidentally on our part. And we started putting stuff on the web, and everybody has a slightly different business model for making that work. But that's one of the biggest changes.
So your two comic strips, the one that's... One is set in a software company, which makes sense to me. The other one, well, they both make sense, but how did you choose to set the other one in a library?
So I was actually trying really hard to come up with a comic strip idea, and the best idea I had was based on my wife and my RV trip, the one we took 16 years ago. And I love the idea of it, but it was very hard to write strips because it was just, the comic strip really just had the two of us driving around, and there were no other supporting characters because they would have to drive around with us. And I kept struggling with that, and it was actually really hard to write jokes, anything above and beyond the experience of just the two of us. And at the same time I was trying to make this idea work, my wife introduced me to a friend of hers who had gone back to work as a librarian. And he and his wife came over and started telling me these sort of terrible stories about what happens in libraries, because if you've ever spoken to a librarian, just terrible, terrible stories of things that happen in libraries. And I thought they were hilarious. And I said, you should write these down. And he started writing them down. And as he started writing them down and we started riffing about it, I realized that this was a sitcom dream, right? This was a situation where people come in and ask a stupid question and you get to have a snappy response to it. Everything happens in the library. Anything you want to talk about, you can make up a reason for someone to come in and ask a question about it or look for a book about it. And so this comic strip, almost from the beginning, has pretty much written itself.
Oh, that's great. And the other one called Not Invented Here is set in a software company. I understand you write that, but does somebody else draw it?
Yeah, that's correct. I'd been drawing Unshelf for many years, and when it came time to spin up the second comic strip, which was, of course, based on my experience, it sounded really exhausting to draw a whole other one. And so I hooked up with one guy, but then another one. The current one, his name is Jeff Subiel, and he's a much better artist than I am. And I have to say it's extremely satisfying to write, because a typical thing that happens for me in Unshelved is Gene will write a strip like, he's standing in the middle and 1,000 zombies, you know, run in. And I'm like, you draw that. but now the shoe's on the other foot, and I'm like, ooh, maybe 2,000 zombies run in, you know, and it's no problem for me. I'm not the one drawing it. and he is so happy to draw it. So everyone's happy with this.
So is this kind of like in music when one person writes the tune and another one person does the lyrics? Or
I mean, it is a little like that. For Unshelved, we write it together. He often provides the first draft of the story, and then we kind of argue over every word together. He's more of a story guy, and I'm more of a punchline guy. So we divvy it up that way. Okay. And so these days we actually get together online on Google Docs or something like that. And we just kind of argue about it. It's kind of like a writer's room, if you've ever seen or heard about a writer's room on TV. It's the same thing. We're arguing over comedy is the most vicious, nasty type of argument, because the conversations tend to go like, this is the funniest thing that's ever been. That's not funny. That's the stupidest thing that's ever been. And we kind of go downhill from there. And often we're really just a couple of words away from agreeing on it. But figuring out this couple of words is where all the work is.
I bet. Now, do you ever argue about the pictures?
He is relatively hands-off about the pictures. I think he used to write these very long, complicated descriptions of what I should draw, and then I would ignore them. And he finally caught on to that. So now he just skips that part.
If you just joined us, we're speaking with Bill Barnes. He's a cartoonist who makes two comic strips that are available on the web. One is called Unshelved. The other one is called Not Invented Here. And he's coming to town next week to teach a class at our library. So, Bill, please describe what you'll be talking about next week? Because it sounds pretty interesting.
Sure. Well, we're going to be talking a lot about what you and I have just been talking about. It's 2 hours. The first hour is I call it the basics of cartooning. And the idea is it's really for anybody around middle school and up, kind of young teenagers and up. I'm teaching it as if I'm teaching my own children. And it's I have this idea. I have a joke I want to tell. How do I get there? And I show how I do it. I show how it starts with the writing of the process. We figure out what the joke is. We work on the dialogue. We hammer that down. I talk about plotting and taking a story and breaking it down into weeks and days to tell it. And then the process of lettering that onto a page, penciling, inking, coloring, word bubbles. And then in the second hour, I move to kind of the technology of it. Now, the first part, you can make comics the old-fashioned way on paper, and that's how I started doing it. But obviously, a lot of the reason to make comics these days is to put them online. So I talk about how to do that. I actually draw the comic entirely on a computer now. Hmm. On a graphics tablet. And so I bring the various things I use to draw it, and I show how I do that. And we talk a little bit about how to create your own website or put it up on a blog. And then finally, if you've got a popular comic strip, it's possible that you can make some money on it. Not everybody does, but it's certainly possible. And we've managed to scrape out a living, Gene and myself, on Unshelf. And so I just talk about how we do that. Everybody seems to have a slightly different business model, and I learned long ago that I can't really tell someone how to make money. But I can certainly inspire them with stories about how we do it.
Well, we were wondering if you were strictly using electronics or if you actually still draw on paper.
One, so I actually prefer to draw on paper, but it is much slower. And one of the things I talk about is it's very seductive to get pulled into drawing on a computer. But I actually believe the best way to learn how to draw is on paper. In fact, the other day in Wyoming, I was doing this talk, and a mom was there with her two kids, and she said, "What sort of computer setup would you recommend for my kids?" And I said, "I wouldn't recommend any computer setup because there's nothing right now that they need to learn on the computer. There's nothing they can't wait 5 years to learn. But you could spend 5 years just focusing on the artwork, and that would be the greatest investment of all."
Tell us where folks can go on the web to see these comic strips.
So Unshelved, this is very easy. Unshelved is at unshelved.com, and Not Invented Here is at notinventedhere.com.
That is easy. I looked at them.
And if you want to follow my family's road trip, you can go to roadtrip.barnacle.org.
Dot Barnacle? And, did you just say?
Yeah, like the crustacean.
Yes, I know.
It's a combination of my name and my wife's name. I'm a Barn, she's a Cole, so together we're the Barnacle family.
Oh, okay. So you have a blog about your road trip.
Yeah, and all four of us are posting about it, so you can find out about the highs and the lows.
That sounds fun. So where do you go between now and Grand Marais?
We're going to go try to get our RV fixed. We had a major mechanical issue, so we're going to pop by an RV place outside of Minneapolis. And I'm doing the same talk in Bemidji the day before, and then International Falls as well. So I'm doing a little tour through northern Minnesota.
That's great. And where are you from?
Seattle.
One last question. Who are your favorite cartoonists?
Probably my all-time favorite cartoonist is Gary Kudo and Gene Free.
Yeah.
Those are the first comic strips I started reading. And still today, I think what that man is able to do in the form of a joke, the actual true things he's able to say about the world, it just astounds me. And I think another reason I really like reading his stuff is he started out as a pretty bad artist. And he got really good. And so it's just inspiring. There's nothing like doing it day after day after day. And, of course, the comic strip, you literally get to watch the progression of the day by day. That's inspiring and validating.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't so great when I started out, but I'm getting better, and I hope to one day be a pretty great artist.
Well, I have to say he's one of my favorites, too. I have all the books, all the little Doonesbury books. And you're right.
Yeah,
the drawing really does evolve a lot.
I had the fortune of being able to give him a little tour of the software company where I worked years ago. Oh. He was visiting. And at the end of it, he said, "So, what do you do?" And I said, "Well, I'm doing this, but I'm going to quit my job soon." He said, "Oh, what are you going to do?" I said, "I want to become a cartoonist." He kind of rolled his eyes at me. So one day I hope to see him again and say, I did it. Look, I did it.
Well, thank you so much, Bill, for joining us, and all the best on your road trip. And we'll see you here in town next week.
I'm looking forward to it. Thank you very much.